as the sermon and as is recently, all the front is review. I do that because I don't know about you, but my mind erases almost as quick as it's written anymore. And so we need to review over and over to kind of etch it in a little bit. And hopefully some things will stick. So. I can get it smaller. Yeah, I can make bigger copies too. Can you? Yes, this is 8. This is 8. It's a Calibri 8, which it can go significantly smaller. Whether or not it's readable, I don't know. The one thing that I don't mind too much, because all of this is review, but it's easy to make it bigger too if you want it. So I just need it. I need review, and I teach the stuff. I create the stuff, you know. And it's like, what did I teach last week again? You know, I assemble and analyze. That's right. I don't create any of it. If I'm creating truth, you need to find a different church, is what Ted is trying to say, and rightly so. I am formatting what I discover on paper. That's the best I can do. So let's pray. I do not think we're going to get to 25 points this week. So if we're only in number 6 and, you know, and it's looking like, wow, it doesn't look like we're going to finish, we're not expecting to finish. So we'll finish next week. So, all right. The key thing is, as long as Josh and Josh finish their cocoa, that's all I'm worried about. Let's pray. Lord, bless our study. It's good to just be able to enjoy the fellowship with one another as we look into your word. And we pray that you would just, again, just change our minds through your light. We're born in darkness, and we need constant teaching to help us slowly change the way we see things so that we might be thinking truthfully. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Basic disciplines for believers. Committed gathering. Huge. I've learned, every time I study, I learn more. And I've taught this several times. As I shared before, initially when I first taught this, it was a single sermon. And there was 13 disciplines that I covered in that sermon. So this has developed into more. When I was over at Calvary Baptist Church, I taught this, so it was a one sermon per discipline. And now this changed into multiple, you know, 5 or 6, 7, sometimes 12 weeks. Each time I'm learning more, you're going deeper. And I just really enjoy it. It helps solidify the truth. And it's the way we learn. There's no way you can get it all at one time, so. So committed gathering, the idea that to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it is His intent, desire, and command for us to be committed to a local body, a specific body of believers, an assembling. Okay? We talked about two churches, universal and local. Universal is all believers from the time of the Pentecost to the rapture. A local church is a local body of believers, a specific place, a specific group, a specific time, doing specifically what God wants as defined what a church is. What the church is not, it's not a place, time, service, or list. We've talked about that. That is different than the way we learn. Let's go to church. We get in a different mentality. As long as we go to church somewhere, we think that that's right, and that's different than the way the Bible displays it. The Bible teaches the church cannot be accomplished by just attending at a certain time or a place. It's much more than that. What a church is, 7 descriptive things, a group of believers, a specific assembly committed to one another. It's not just an assembly. I believe a Bible-defined church is a group of believers that are committed to one another. That's different. Most churches, even today, even though they might be members of a church, they're not really committed to one another. Most of the people are not. In the average church, there's usually about 20% of the people that are really doing the work doing it, the rest of the people just attend. Attendance is not church. Okay? In and of itself. The group is led by God-appointed, God-approved leaders. I think that is critical. I think that is crucial to a definition of a church. A church proclaims the gospel to unbelievers. To make disciples, the first step is proclaiming the gospel to unbelievers. Pursuing the training of believers to full maturity and service. That is what a church is. It's not just somehow scratching your religious itch. It's with the intent of maturing you to full maturity and service. And if a church isn't doing that, either the believer is not on board with what they're supposed to be doing, or the church is not understanding what they're supposed to be doing, or both. It's turned into an entertainment center or a club or whatever. It has become something different than God intended. Number six, a church is perpetuating leadership into the next generation. It's clear in Scripture that the local church is given that responsibility to train the next generation of believers. And it's a lifelong process. I believe it's, you're talking about young men and little ones. And we're not discounting women either, though we biblically define do not include them in leadership. But everybody growing up into ministry, growing up into service. Specifically men who can train others also is the ultimate goal of that. And preserving the truth in the face of falsehood, the church has become very shallow. They do not study the Word of God, and they believe everything they read or hear. And a lot of that is just an amazing amount of teaching that you can get anywhere now, which probably has as much weakened the church as it has strengthened it for many reasons, especially the local church. The next review point here is I need the church and the church needs me. That's the idea of prompting. In Hebrews 10, it says, let us consider one another. One of the main emphasis of this whole section is to say that you attend church for other people. Okay, you're here for one another. Most people in our day are in a consumer mindset that they come to church because they find what they want. It's like shopping. And as soon as someone else offers something else, they go there. Okay? And that's wrong. That's unbiblical. It misses that commitment. And again, the idea of... Where's the notes at, Josh? Here they are. Sorry. The idea is you can't imagine your hand walking off and joining another body. Okay? And we hit that on that more last week. You are here for the benefit of the body, others. The church is a specific body. And by the way, if you don't come, who are you hurting? It isn't just you, it's others, okay? So we have to take that into consideration. The church is a specific body, a single group of people that are committed to one another for mutual benefit. We are here for one another, primarily. Do we interact with other believers? Do we interact with other believers in other churches? Yes, but our singular commitment is to the local body. Consider is an ongoing, it's a present tense verb. It requires continuous focus on a specific group. To stir up love and good works, you have to know them. You have to get to know them. You have to be involved in their lives. It's a time commitment. The assembly requires assembling. The assembly assembles and does so as a necessity to spiritual maturity. The church does not augment or append your spiritual growth. The church, the assembling of believers is essential, is absolutely necessary to your spiritual growth, as in Hebrews 10:25, your spiritual protection, Hebrews 3, and your spiritual purpose or placement in 1 Corinthians 12. It's not an option to attend. It's not an option to commit to a local body. In fact, we said, you commit to a local body because you already are part of the body. It's an obligation. You do this because you're part of the body. You assemble it and are committed to the local body. The opposite of forsaking is what? Not forsaking, but exhorting. It's Being absent, the opposite of being absent is actively being involved in people's lives. Encourage them to love and good works, right? It's actively speaking to other people about their spiritual state. I would say I find that hard. It doesn't come natural. I don't believe that. It's just not a natural thing. So we are commanded to do that. Okay? God took care of that. You don't have to feel like it at all. We talked about Hebrews 3. We come together not only for the prompting to be encouraged and to grow in that way, but also to protect us. The danger, this can happen to us. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. We are to walk by faith, not just save by faith. Evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, as it is called today, lest you be hardened to the what? The deceitfulness of sin. Deceitfulness means what? That you are unaware, right, of what is happening to you. That's why you need other people. You do not see what other people see. We use the foxhole illustration. We also use the chess or checkers idea where you can't see it, but other people can. You need other people in order to stay spiritually safe. And it even talks about daily exhortation, which means that we're tempted to depart. We have the danger of that deceitfulness of sin every day. That should sober us, shouldn't it? Bottom of the first page there. One body, many members. Committed gathering places us. It's a placing. God puts us in a local body as He wills. It is not wholly our choice to decide where to go, I believe. I know it sounds kind of funny because we choose. We're a state of free people or whatever. But I believe that God places us, and so therefore we have to be very careful before we up and leave to go someplace else, because God has put us there for a reason. We talked about last week about the homogenization of churches. People that have commonality, meaning giftedness, have a tendency to assemble in the same place. God makes us different as different parts of a body on purpose, so that you are different than I am and I am different than you are, because that's His intent. There are many members, but one body, and we are designed that way because each of us has a different ability, a different giftedness, a different perspective, and that makes the body work. If everyone was an eye, where is the body? If everyone's an ear, where is the body? Well, we have a tendency that the ears get together and the eyes get together in churches, and so therefore the churches don't get better, they just get bigger, and they don't end up accomplishing what God wants in the individual bodies. So, and every part is important. We are here to minister to this particular body. Each member has a God-designed purpose, even though it's not up in front of people or whatever. Every part has a purpose. And I think that's what we miss too. People casually approach church attendance because they say it doesn't matter if I'm there or not. If that's the case, they're misunderstanding the Word of God. People up and choose and move around churches because they say it doesn't matter, and God says it absolutely does matter. I place you there as an eye, an ear, a big toe, or whatever the case might be, because I intend for you to be there. And you, the toe or whatever is the foot or the hand or whatever is like, the foot's not doing what the hand, you know, what I wanted to do, because the hand sees the need that the hand sees, right? The hand says, pick it up, and the toe goes, are you kidding? I can't pick anything up. And the foot says to the hand, get moving. And it's like, what are you talking about? I don't move. You know, I don't walk somewhere. I pick things up. But together, the body accomplishes what it's intended to do. The placement there, 1 Corinthians 12 is huge in that way. There's different body parts, but all are essential, and they're there on purpose by God. Now, flip the page over. We have 25 one another's. Committed gathering prompts us, protects us, places us. It also engages us. One of the key things that it talks about, remember in Hebrews 10, is, and let us consider what? One another. You come to church for other people. And assembling, the assembly, why is the church called the assembly? It's because that is what accomplishes a great part of what the church does, is when they come together. When does the church function as a church in a great way? Much, if not most, of what the church does happens as the church assembles together. So much the more. What? As you see the day approaching, don't forsake, assemble more. Okay? Why? Because we need these things to happen to protect us, to grow us and strengthen us, to place us. We are engaged in these 25. By the way, these are only from the epistles, which directly relate to the church. There's 25 one another's. A great many of them either cannot happen unless we are assembled, or cannot be known so that they can happen unless we assemble together. You have to get to know people. Okay? So let's start through these. By the way, these are alphabetical. So it's probably not in order of priority or logic, or they probably overlap, you know, maybe 7 overlaps with number 17 or something. But they all are distinct and separate, one another, that God has commanded us. These are two different words in the Greek. Most of them are one word. But you see it over and over. I don't know of any equivalent. It's allelone. It sounds like all alone, but it's just the opposite, okay? Allelone is one another. And that's what you see over and over again. It's one another. I don't know the etymology, the breakdown of this, but it's allelone. The other one is it's an H, so it's heotau. I don't even know how to pronounce it really. And it looks like this in the Greek. This is a breathing mark. It makes the H sound. Okay? Heotau. And this is yourself or yourselves. And I've done it, I'll do this for plural because that's what I grabbed. Because you can do things for himself too, which we're not talking about. We're talking about groups. And these are combined in your list. They have somewhat the same meaning when used this way. But one another or yourselves. And now some of them I'll point out. I don't have them all in my head. The first one, it's both ways. Number one is admonish. Admonish. Okay? I'll throw out some Greek terms. I'm not trying to confuse you or whatever, but it makes sense when you get to them. When you understand what it's trying to say, because admonish, I'm not sure if Randy was here, he could describe where that came from in the Latin or something. But it comes from nutheteo. And it looks like this. Anyone, is that familiar to you at all, that term? In Christian circles, it should be. Yeah, there's a term called new thetic counseling. It's also known as biblical counseling. There's all kinds of garbage out there that people take man's ideas, Freud, and the Bible, and try to come up with psychology. Psychology is soul or life or mind, the study of the mind or something. The problem is, though, man's ideas change, they differ. You heard of Sigmund Freud. Most of counseling or psychology or psychiatry today is based on errors on him, one way or another. And there's over 4,000 schools of psychology. So which one is correct? Good, good, good. No one knows. No one has a clue. It's the most confusing mess there is. Why? Because they've departed from the Word of God. They've departed from the truth. You don't build on the truth, what do you have? Nothing but error. Even if you mix truth with error, what do you have? Error. Okay, so that's what this is. Even Christian psychologists, one rhymes with Cobson. I don't know what to say. They mix man's ideas with God's ideas. That doesn't take away from their salvation, but it leads people astray. Okay, there's all kinds of. How many remember the Minerth Meyer Clinic? I don't know if it's still alive now, but lots of stuff there was built upon this, not that. Okay? And there was a fad for a long time. It was a huge fight and argument in the last 50 years in the Christian circles because it basically stepped out to the authority of the Word of God. Okay? Is God's Word sufficient or not? And they would say, no. Okay? The bottom line is, no. You need God and. You need man's ideas and. Okay? So, huge things. But, backing off from that word, because that's a formal use of that. This is what we're supposed to do with each other. Let me get rid of this now. By the way, it'll make sense when you're talking about New Study Counseling. New here is the word, I think it's nous, and it's mind. Okay? It comes from the word mind, this part here. Teteo comes from a word that means to, it's a tifemi, it's, that it means to place. Okay? To place on one's mind.
Keep in mind.
Yeah. Admonish is to bring it to mind. You're not teaching with this word. You are reminding somebody of what they know. Okay? You are, nuteteo, you are admonishing. We are told in Romans, go ahead and turn to Romans. We're going to be turning to these. Your pages would have been long and lengthy here. Romans 15:4. These are either commands or statements with the effect of a command. And each of these, 25. And folks, if you don't assemble together frequently, regularly with a group of believers, and this is a specific group. This is the local body. Remember, body parts that make up one body? You cannot do these things. Alright? Romans 15:14 says this, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish," what? Who? "One another." Okay? Now, Paul says we're able to do that. Now go over to Colossians 3. Some of you have already had that running in your head. And again, I said these are in alphabetical order. So we're starting with A. Verse 16, Colossians 3. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." What's the basis of admonishment? Okay, get that down. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and..." Whom? Okay? We're supposed to do this in a continual way toward one another. We're to be reminding each other. We're to be bringing to mind to one another. Hey, do you remember this? How many here forget things? How many here know right now you're sitting here and you know you forgot something that you can't even remember that you forgot it? Yeah, I'm there, you know. I know there's stuff, and it's like, I have it on a list, but I don't remember what I wrote on the list, and I can't remember where I put the list. You know, kind of idea. You mock. You just wait, buddy. Okay. But admonishing, we're bringing to mind. That's the idea. How many here learn and remember everything they hear? First time. My wife, bless her soul, she raising kids, young kids. It's like, I've told them and they still won't do it. And it's like, I don't know, hon, but I think it's like, and when they are old, they won't depart from it. So, yeah, train up a child in the way you should go. When they're old, they won't depart. It seems like there's a massive gap in there. You know, how many thousands of times do you have to say it? We're the same way, aren't we? As adults? You study stuff and then you forget it. And does that make you go a different way? If you forget God's truth, do you have a tendency to lean away from God's truth? That you rely upon your own ideas? Does that emphasize the fact that we need to admonish one another? You know, you already know this, but it's probably tucked away from here, but I need to remind you of something. That should come out of our mouths all the time. That remember that deceitfulness of sin idea? How is that counted? Exhortation, admonishment, bringing it to mind. It's back there. It's on one of those extended hard drives. And it needs to be pulled to the front again. It needs to be pulled out. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, because you start going this way. You start moving away. Here's God's truth. And we constantly, it's like, if you've ever driven a car that had pulled to the right or whatever, that's our soul. It wants to pull to the right. It wants to rely upon ourselves. It wants to interpret life based upon our own understanding and all of that. And admonishment, teaching and all of those things do it, but admonishment says, oh yeah, it's a course adjustment. And the Bible says we're supposed to be, let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. That's our responsibility. That's a command to us. It's kind of the Psalm 1, you know, that blesses men that walks down the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates every Sunday morning. Day and night. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, teaching and admonishing. We're supposed to be bringing to mind the things that they know, that one another knows. It's like, come on, you remember what we talked about here. Remember what the Word of God says. It's bringing to mind. It's placing it on your mind again. That's what nouthetic counseling is. It's bringing the Word of God and bringing it back to them. It's drawing the truth from the truth. And that's all that there is. Okay? So we're supposed to admonish one another. That's a responsibility. What does that require? By the way, the answer to all of those stupid questions is okay, what does this require? Getting together. Can you admonish without being around people? The answer is absolutely not. This ties into all we've set up to this point. The one another's require you either to be here to do it or to be here to know that you need to do it. One of the two. All right? Admonish. Well, if I don't ever see Ethan, I can't admonish him because I don't see what he needs admonished about. And guess what? He can't see what I need admonished about. Right? And if our paths never cross, there's no admonishment taking place anyway. Right? So we have to assemble together. Number two. And boy, Ethan needs boatloads of money. He's probably thinking, boy, and he needs boatloads of money. It goes every direction. Number two. I think the word hospitable is one I... Be hospitable to one another. 1 Peter 4:9.
almost like hospital, only hospita, and then both. Hospitable. And it has to do with the table sometimes.
1 Peter 4:9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Now, honestly, I don't understand all of that because we're in a completely different culture. How hard is it now to cook? Let's say you set that for 2 minutes. Right? Swing by the store, whatever, you know. Think about it, what it was back then. Honey, grab another chicken. And you also know, you know, maybe it was that, it's that kind of idea, or whatever, squeezing people in or whatever. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Be hospitable. The idea of hospitable, it comes as being like a stranger lover. I know that sounds funny, but that's the terminology there. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Whether that's within, when you assemble together, remember they shared their food at times. Remember 1 Corinthians 11, some people are hungry and some people are full. Maybe it relates even to stuff like that, but we should be interacting outside the assembling together as a group as well as together. We almost have to do that to exhort one another daily. Right? To some degree or another, we need more connectivity. So be hospitable to one another, which may involve a meal or just sitting and chatting. Right? But getting together, even outside the realm. Where does the hospitality first start, though? You still have to get together to arrange to get together elsewhere. Right? Number three. Out of how many? I know. Next week we're going to probably forego the full review here. Ephesians 4:32, yeah, okay. I know you're homeschooled. I'll check your paper afterward. Ephesians 4:32. I can quote this for you like the back of my hand. Or the front of my hand. Because my mom made us quote it every time we fought. And we fought more than once. This thing is burned into my head. It's in the King James. And be kind one to another. Go ahead, say it. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Yeah. Say it again. Okay, be kind to one another. Now, folks, what does that require? And what does it assume? That you're coming together with people at this very moment you do not very well. Right? Because we don't need to be commanded to be kind to people that we like to be kind to, right? Hello? Does that explain church a little more? I don't like going there because I don't like those people. Well, God is working on your heart to teach you how to be kind. But they always offend me. Forgiving one another. We'll get there when we get to the S, right? But be kind. I guess that's a B. Be kind, right? Be kind. Should be a K, maybe. I don't know. I know Ted's like, what are you talking about? Alphabetical, what? I'm from Wisconsin. We have a different alphabet. Yeah, I have the B's there. I should have listed them under something else, honey. But be kind to one another. Again, it assumes that it's people that we aren't right now feeling very kindly toward. That assumes that. And again, that paints the picture of the church family. There's that constant back and forth tension, just like in a home, only more. More people, more different. More friction. And God says, yes, exactly. That's what I've got planned here. The goal is not to run away from them. The goal is to be kind to them. Right? And apparently, as you read the verse more, they've been people that have hurt you. Because you have to, what? Forgive them. Well, I just shouldn't leave. I don't even think that's an option there. Okay? So be kind. It assumes you're getting together, right? I don't have to go to church even if it's just to be kind to them. Okay? Kind of helping you out a little bit with a little drama here. Right? I need to go because they rubbed me the wrong way. What? Yep. Got to go practice my kindness stuff. All right? That's, you laugh, but that's exactly what we're talking about, right? And you know what I mean. I mean, I think people in my house come home so they can practice being kind to me. You know, the idea too. It grows us that way. And again, what do we do if we're in a consumer mindset? They hurt me. I don't like them. I'm leaving. And God says, what are you talking about? Good thing I didn't do that before I got on the cross, huh? Right? Number four. Slightly different. Yes. Kindly affectioned. You can just say affectionate, I guess. I put it in my notes. I can't. It's a different word. I don't remember what the difference is. I don't have my Greek easily accessible here. But kindly affectionate. Romans 12:20. Do you have Greek in there? Or a Strong's? One or the other. Romans 12:10. All these geeky types of like, oh, I can do this for you. I've been waiting years to pull up the Greek word for something. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. A lot of these have more than one, as you see. Did you find it? No? But that would be brotherly love. It would be before that. It would be maybe the first word. V is supplied. So, Okay. Storge is affectionate. Like, without natural affection, in 2 Timothy 3 it says people will be lovers of themselves without natural affection. It's like almost like a family love. A storge would be the... Philadelphia, but that's the brotherly love. I'm looking for the kindly affection part, but that's all right. Yeah, but there's another word. Do you have the Greek there? Sorry, folks. Philostorgos is, yeah. Fraternal towards fellow Christians. It's a family love, okay? So you might want to put that on the side, a family love. Philos or phileo. If this is, I'll have to look it up, but there's a phileo. We get Philadelphia. Phileo is to love or to like. And then storge is like a mother's love for her daughter, you know, children or something like that. That's what God says we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have family love toward one another. Okay, so you're going to put family love down. Stay in Romans 12. It says, be of the... same mind towards one another. I have all these with Greek under them too, but I didn't bring it for some reason. I don't know why. You have the same mind toward one another. And that's also in Romans 15:5. Be like-minded. You see it in Philippians 2 as well. Having the same mind, same love. But we're the same mind. What does that mean? Okay, what's like-minded mean? That means being same-minded. Okay, let's be same-minded.
Sounds like Pastor John's
side. Yeah, it's like, oh, that's helpful. That cleared the air on that one. That explains everything. Be of the same mind toward one another. Fellow believers, it's kind of like a corporate mindset. Instead of just being off on your own, I think it has to do, and this is a little bit preliminary, but it has to do with working hard till you agree. It takes time to agree. We're in this together. We might not agree in every detail, but we're singularly focused, going the same direction. Think of it this way. How many have ever canoed? Okay? There's a couple important things you need to know about canoes. Say if you have a two-man canoe. Number one, you both need to be in the same canoe. You might say, yeah, wait a second. Okay, because it's like, okay, let's go canoeing. Okay. Wait a second here, you know. We got to do something. Okay, so we get the same canoe. And it's like, wait a second. I thought I was in front. You got to face the same direction. Okay? Face the same direction. Oh, it depends on who you are. And then you have to paddle. I had the privilege of going with my youth director up to Canada for 2 weeks for a canoe trip. He and I to the Quetico Provincial Park. Awesome! I was 14, okay? I was Stephen's age. Almost three. Yeah, your age. Learned for 2 weeks. I learned all about it. It's like, okay, there's lots of things. The basics, and then you work into the basics, but the same mind, you're working together, but you stroke on opposite sides of the canoe usually. Because it balances, okay, and you have to kind of keep it going straight. Yeah, you don't want to keep going in a circle because, you know, faster, 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 you know, it doesn't get you anywhere. And each has a different function. The back guy usually steers. You can steer with the front, but it's a lot harder. Okay, back guy usually steers. Okay, and even the little things like feather your paddle. What? Feather your paddle, like when you bring it back down to put it in the water, make sure it's sideways flat. Because if you do it like this, you splash the guy in the front. You know, stuff like that. You're working together with the same mindset to go in the same direction. That's the idea. Okay? So you're in the same canoe. You're facing the same direction. You're paddling the same direction, right? Because you can paddle backwards, right? Sometimes you do paddle backwards in the canoe to do certain things. Turn around, one guy paddles forward, but the other guy paddles backwards. Anyway. But lots of things to do, okay? But if you're all going the same direction together, that's when you make progress. You can really go canoeing when you got two guys going at it, you know, and making some speed.
Two gals, not so much.
Two gals, not so much, he said. I'll just let you be beat to a bloody pulp over in the corner here after Sunday school. All right. Questions or comments so far? Do you see where we're going? What does it take to become of the same mind? Yeah. You have to assemble. You have to come together. And by the way, the more you do it, the more you become that way. It's like being married kind of again. Right? My wife and I have been married almost 29 years. I figure another 30 years together we'll be same-minded. Maybe 40. Juanita, why are you... Did you kick him? Marv just looks away. Is it hopeless, Marv? Is it? It's still an effort. But I'm saying, you get the idea. It's a process. And it's a commitment to, yes, we're in this together, going the same direction. Do sometimes I get splashed in the back of the water? Yes. But we're still going in the same direction, right? Working together. So, questions or comments?
I like the verse,
Yes. Yep. Make the right choices so that you can continue to get along even though you disagree, so you work on it, so you figure out what the answers are, kind of thing. No, trust me, I'm married. My wife has to put up with me every day. So, all right, let's call it quits. I'll pray, and we'll have see what we can get done next week. So, I'll bring my Greek next week. I'm kind of lost without it. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word again, and we ask, Lord, that you would just impress upon us the importance of coming together often, regularly, Lord, because we need it. One another needs it, Lord, and we cannot do what you want us to do apart from the intense assembling together. Just bless us as we desire to please you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.